Power to be born again. Power. Power. Anybody need some power? Amen. Anybody need some power? I'm not talking about the power of the world. Some Holy Ghost power. Amen. Power that allows you to stand when the whole world is trying to get you to fall. Power to resist some things. The Bible says, resist the devil. And he'll flee. What he said. Some of us need that power that God gave Joseph. When Potiphar's wife came on the scene. Amen. Joseph has some power. Word of God said he has no power. He didn't want to be caught nowhere near her. Amen. Read it. Genesis 39. Amen. We're going to continue our series on outrageous conversions. We are at, I believe, number 6, possibly number 7. I've lost track. Is it 7? It's 7. Amen. And I have a little book, and I was telling Margaret this morning, it's 51. At least 51 conversion experience that the Bible talks about. At least. And the reason I've been teaching on these conversions is because I believe it's important for folks to know what happens when you get saved.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You get some power. But I think a whole lot of folks say they saved and have no power and really don't know what happened to them. Something happens when you get saved. And we're going to look at one of the greatest conversion experiences recorded in the scriptures. One of the greatest, if not the greatest. And we're going to talk about the great Apostle Paul. And his conversion experience that he was heading down Damascus Road. And it's found in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. And it's coincidence, last week we talked about the blind man. And it was John chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Well, we're gonna stand and read God's word, and this is precious. This is precious. And I'm going to add a condition this week that I hadn't added in the previous 7. It's always been there, but I haven't added it. So this week we're going to add number 1. This is it. Man's lost condition. Okay. You saved in here. Amen. You was at one time lost.
Amen.
Okay. If you say you saved in here and never been lost, then an examination is necessary. The second one is confrontation. Verses 3 and 5. The lost condition is verses 1 and 2. And the second one is confrontation, 3 and 5. Compassion, that third one. And verse 6. And then that conversion experience is in verses 5 through 8. And I'm not going to read all the way to 26 and 23, but you're going to talk about persecution that always has to come. It always has to come. Matter of fact, I'm going to jump to 26 just to read this persecution because, you know, these are conditions. of the child of God when they come to the Lord. And better believe, persecution almost all, every time caps it off. Amen. Let's look at this great, great scripture. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. And Saul, yet breathing and breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross. And while he was in heaven, Father God, he had the grace and the mercy to look down upon Saul and to convert this man and to use him mightily to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Father God, we thank you again for all those that are in attendance today. Ask that they would be blessed, that they would leave here today with a greater understanding of what it means to be sure enough saved. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We look at Paul's condition, his lost condition. Some of the Calvinists, they'll call it total depravity. We Baptist folks, we know it's depravity, but we call it a lost condition. And we were all in that condition. Amen?
Amen.
If you haven't been, examine yourself. So we pick up Paul's story here in verse chapter 9. But it comes off of, just to bring it in context, you have to go back to chapter 7, and here's Stephen on trial. You remember Stephen was the apostle when God, matter of fact, Stephen was a deacon.
Yes.
And when the church was being established, the work was so great for the apostles that they said, go out among you.
Amen.
And find you 7 men filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And Stephen was chosen. We go back to chapter 6 and it talks about that. It talks about Stephen being chosen. He was chosen. Verse 5, and it says, and the same pleased the multitude, the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. I don't know if you qualified to be a deacon. Here's the qualification. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of full of the Word of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Stephen had that. Stephen had that because they chose him. And Stephen was on trial. Verse 7. We're going to pick up the story. Stephen was on trial. He would give his one and only sermon. See, you only got one shot at this sometimes. See, next week ain't guaranteed for me. This may be my last sermon. As Spurgeon say, you ought to preach like a dying man to dying people. Because some of y'all might not hear this next week. Somebody said something about the floods in Pittsburgh. I believe some of them folks might have been playing ushers and deacons, and might have been somebody in the choir. But Stephen was on trial. And while he was on trial, he preached the gospel message. The whole of chapter 7 is the gospel message. He took them all the way to Abraham. All the way, you know, all the way up to verse 51. He took them to Abraham, all the way to Solomon. Everything in between. And they didn't have any problem with Abraham. They didn't have any problem with Moses because they idolized Moses and Abraham. They didn't have a problem with them. Oh, but when he got the verse number 51, it really began in 49. It said, but Solomon built him a house. I'm in Acts 7, 47. And he said, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Uh-oh, Stephen talking about something else here. Okay. He's talking about something else here. He said, the Holy One does not dwell in temples made with hands, as say the prophet. He says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me? That's the Lord talking. Hey, I don't care. You can have the biggest construction company known to man. You're not going to build a house that can contain God. He said, have not my hand made all these things? And then Stephen make an application. We all make application with every sermon. See, this is our time to make an application. Here's application. And this is direct. Because he knew they wasn't hearing him. He says, and ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised of the heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. They won't hear nothing about the Holy Spirit. See, some folks don't want to hear nothing about the Holy Spirit. Because they doing everything with their own hands. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I have resources. I have connections. He said, do you always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye. And then he hit him right in the heart. He said, every prophet that ever tried to talk to you about the things of God and the Holy Spirit, he said, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which show before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He called them murderers. This is a direct application.
Yes.
And when they got, I'm going to skip down here. Verse number 57. They couldn't take it anymore. They didn't want to hear the word of God. They didn't want to hear the word of God. See, they brought rocks to church. See, these folks brought rocks to church. I'm looking outside. I know we got some stones out there around the church. Somebody said, nice ones. Listen. They didn't want to hear it no more. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They was unified. See, unsaved folks is just as unified as saved folks. Maybe even more. We got some unsaved folks that like to run with saved folks. And we got some saved folks that like to run with unsaved folks. Listen. They didn't want to hear, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And then in verse number 8, still in bringing this up to date here, and it says in verse number 3, here's Paul again, Saul again, making havoc of the church. Now I was watching the news yesterday, and I think it's happening in Camo, a young boy, the guy in the store accused him of stealing some cough drops. And the boy ran out of the store and he talked to the boy's mother, and the mother brought him back to the store. He just tore the whole store up. Knocked over all the shelves and tore the whole store up. And the police had to come and arrest him. And that's what it means by making havoc. And Paul had came into the church and made havoc of the church. He was turning things upside down. He was ripping it apart. The Bible says in every house, he went to every church he could, and it says hell and men and women committing them to prison. Some folks say, well, Paul was, you know, prejudiced toward women. He didn't. And Paul didn't care. Paul didn't care. He was a madman. Verse number 9, chapter number 9 and verse 1, it says, as we start our lesson, he says, and Saul, yet he wasn't satisfied. See, when you have an evil, murderous heart, there's no amount of sin will ever satisfy you. See, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. No man can know it, and no man can tame it. So once you bent on destruction, you know, Satan's job is to now destroy you. He got you. He has you where he wants you, and he wants to destroy you. And he'll destroy you with whatever your habit is, or whatever your idol is, or whatever your addiction is. Satan wants to use that to destroy you. But thanks be to God. Listen to that Saul in verse number 1. He said, and Saul, yet, that's a big word, yet, that word means he is unfulfilled. I mean, he just stoned Stephen. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. And he's breathing out threatenings and slaughters. This man's breath smelt like murder. I mean, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But everything Paul talked about, he was totally consumed with killing Christians. He was totally consumed. This was how he lived, as every thought was on destroying the church. How many know there's some Sauls out there in this world today? You can talk about anything you want to talk about. You can talk about any religion. But when you lift up Jesus Christ, when you lift up Jesus Christ, you condemn. Oh, this is going to be interesting. And I really don't like to talk about a lot about politics. But there's a man that just stepped into the arena that says he's a man of God. Says he don't believe in same-sex marriages, don't believe in abortion. This ought to be interesting. This ought to be interesting. Watch this. He's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. How many know when you mess with God's people? Word of God say, touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. I'm not going to go as far as that we have prophets today as we had in the Old Testament. I believe that was a time for that. But I believe all of us in here have God's divine protection. And I don't believe many of us know that, because I think a lot of us are intimidated. We are afraid. We are almost embarrassed about standing for what we believe. Some of us have real troubles even coming to church and bringing a Bible anymore. We almost don't want to be seen with a Bible. Some churches, you don't even need them. They just put it right up on the screen in the PowerPoint sermons. Listen what happens here. We talk about that first condition, Paul, our man's lost condition. Listen, he said he went into the high priest. Paul had access. He had power. This was a powerful, powerful man. Maybe the most powerful man in that region. And he had power. Okay? But Paul would write something in 1 Corinthians 10:12 that would show you where he was coming from. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:12. And you don't have to turn there. You write it down. I'm just going to read it straight out of the Word of God. Paul would write this after his fall. He said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Yes.
Okay? You in here today? Think you got it all together? You got all your eyes dotted, your T's crossed. You think you got it all together. You're a self-made man. This is what he said. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. For what? Why, Paul? There have no temptation taken you, but such is what? Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. That ye may be able to, what? Bear it. Power. That's what one of the men was singing. Power. I know we need power to bear the heavy load that this world put on us. And some of us right now, we under a heavy load.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but God did not give us the spirit of fear.
Amen.
But power. Wonder working power. We just had to tap in. Talked about last week. We run around here as Christians unplugged. No source of power. We run around here with no power. We're not even tapped in. We're not plugged in. And we wonder why we getting tore up. And we falling for every trick of the devil because we're not plugged in. Listen to verse 2. Still talking about Paul's his unsaved condition, his lost condition. He says, and he desired of him letters to the masses. He went to the high priest. It looked like he just walked right in the door. Didn't knock or nothing. Just walked right in the door and said, I desire. That word desire means he was begging. This was a murderer. Had an evil, wicked heart. And he desired of the high priest what? Letters to Damascus. Damascus was a city where hundreds of Christians stayed. One of the oldest cities in the Bible. And he wanted to go into the synagogues. And listen to what he said. If he found any of this way. What way? Jesus' way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but me. And I guarantee you, Paul or Saul had heard that many times. How many know Paul was only 5 years younger than Jesus? And I'm not going to go all in depth on how we figured this out. But if you go to Acts, I believe, 22, it talks about how Paul was born. Set under the feet of Gamaliel. He was well educated and well taught. And he was only 5 years younger than Jesus. So Paul was probably right there when Jesus died. He probably followed Jesus around, heard all Jesus' teaching. And when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, that probably burned the heart of a Pharisee. Because the Pharisee didn't believe Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, and everyone that believed that, Paul wanted to destroy. He wanted to destroy. Listen, and he desired of him letters of the masses to the synagogues that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. This was a lost soul. This was a man in need of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Let's look at the second thing. The second point of true conversion. We talk about true conversion. We talked about it last week. We added that new condition this week. Look at this. Watch the confrontation. Watch the confrontation. If you've been saved, if God has saved you, you've been confronted. You've been confronted in your sin. You've been confronted in your mess.
Yes, sir.
He came right to you and confronted you and said, get right. Get right. He didn't come right to you and kill you. Okay? Folks running around here getting killed. Listen, they didn't have some warnings. Okay? They didn't have some close calls. You know, they didn't say it. I heard many of them. You know what? Whew. You know, that was a close call. I'd have been to the hospital and visited folks. They've been shot and they run right back out into the streets. Fall off motorcycles, run right back into the streets. Oh, if God saved me from this, I'm going to serve him. Look at this confrontation. Verse number 3. And as he journeyed. This is about a 1 week journey from Jerusalem to Damascus. And as he journeyed, he was in his mess. As he journeyed, he was just mouth just full of murderous thoughts and deeds and actions. He wanted to kill people. This man was deep in sin. And he was on his way. The Bible says he journeyed and he came near to Damascus. And suddenly, in his mess, in his sin, deep into his sin, and suddenly, what? There shined around him a light from heaven.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. What a gracious God we serve. And he confronted Paul. Some say this was a picture of the transfiguration when Jesus appeared to the disciples. And he probably heard the apostles talking about this transfiguration. Paul might have been one to mock it. None of that's happened. He denied all the miracles because he was a Pharisee. The Bible said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Now, one thing he said when he was giving his testimony, he said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, that's saying something. Okay? And if you go back to Genesis 49 and 27, when Jacob was handing out all the blessings, he says that the tribe of Benjamin would be ravenous wolves. Paul was living up to that. He was proud of that. He was proud of his testimony. When he stood before Agrippa, he was proud, not then when he stood before Agrippa, but prior to that, he was proud to be a monster. He was happy to be a monster. He lived in it. And he thought he was doing God service. A great service by destroying folks. That's how sin will have you.
That's right.
See, sin's job is to destroy you. And the number one way to get destroyed is to deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Deny his existence. And this is what Saul was doing. I keep saying Saul and Paul, but again, when that conversion took place, Saul's name was changed. Saul's name was changed. Acts 13:9 said Paul, he went from Saul to Paul. See, when God saves us, he gives us a new name. Some of us in here got new names. We're not known by the same things we did when we was on the streets. Okay. I hope we aren't. Something happened to him. Listen, let's look at this conversion, because this is interesting. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him, about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. Here's this man, high and mighty. Here's this man on his way to Damascus with letters to kill, letters of destruction in his hand, and now he was on his face, bowing to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Some folks say, well, Paul didn't see Jesus Christ. He didn't see him personally. Yes, he did. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, when God confronts you, it's going to be personal.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. He's going to make it personal. He said, Saul, Saul, just to make sure that Paul heard him. When Martha was running around in the kitchen and Mary was sitting at her feet and Martha was running around and trying to get Jesus' attention, Jesus said, what? Martha? Martha. See, when God confronts you, it will be personal. You know, it will be personal. You cannot ride the coattails of your mother and your father into heaven. You have to have a personal confrontation with the Lord. This is what he meant when he said it to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, stop. You must be born again. And like Reggie Kelly would say, he didn't say it was a good idea to be born again. He said, you must be born again.
Amen.
You must have a personal confrontation with the Lord.
Amen.
I hope I'm helping somebody. I hope someone in here who says they're saved and nothing happened will realize something has to happen.
Amen.
That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says we ought to what? Examine ourselves to make sure we have the right stuff. And he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shines around him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, he knew whose voice that was. That word heard me, he understood what was being said and who was speaking. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. I believe Jesus and Paul may have had a confrontation or two while Jesus walked this earth. Listen. He says, why persecutest thou me? This is the Lord talking. If you got a King James red letter Bible, that's the Lord talking. Was Saul persecuting the Lord? No, the Lord was in heaven. Okay? But if you've done it to the least of mine, you've done it unto me. That's that divine protection that we have. Some of us don't understand. We have divine protection. We can walk in the boldness. And we can stand and speak the word of God to our friends and family in boldness. God wants us to do that. Oh, they might not hear us today. They might not hear us next week. But we don't know. All we do is plant a seed. We talk about that in Sunday school. We plant a seed. You ain't planting nothing that's going to pop up tomorrow. Okay. Even them little green grass dogs take a while. Cheetah pets and all that stuff. You still got to take a while. Amen. We want instant results. See, that's why I'm not big on altar calls. I'm not big on trying to beg. Somebody hear this word, go home, and it'll start growing tonight. And they'll come back a month later. They may get saved in California. See, a whole lot of preachers say, oh, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15 people came to the Lord. You don't know what happened. 15 people got excited and walked down the aisle. You don't know what happened. We're so in the numbers. Oh, look at them come. Look at them come. Now, nobody in their right mind believe all them folks had a Billy Graham crusade really was saved. I'm not saying some of them wasn't. But Billy Graham was saying, once you get saved, you go to wherever church you want to go to. Well, you know, they could have left there and went anywhere and got unsaved. But some churches are unsaved. You, is that a word? Listen, verse number 5. We still talking about this conversion, this confrontation. You have to have it. Everybody have it? You've been confronted. And he said, who art thou? Oh, there you go. That confrontation. Mm-hmm. When you had that confrontation, when you truly say, you're going to have a desire to want to know who Christ is. You want to know if you had a confrontation, you're going to have a desire to want to know who Christ is. You're going to have a desire to want to open up your word. You're going to have a desire. I know I say this all the time. I know I sound like a broken record. But you're going to have a desire to want to open up the scriptures and say, what does this say? Yes. About Jesus Christ. That's the first thing he said. Who art thou? That was an inquiry. Who art thou? Lord, with a question mark. I need to know about this Lord. I need to know about this man. If somebody knocked me off my high horse and put me face down on the dirt, I want to know who big and bad enough to do this. Because Paul was a bad man. Muhammad Ali used to say, I'm a bad man. But see, listen. You out of your league when you talking about Paul. Because Paul, some people say Paul may have killed 20,000 people. So we say, where is that at? Listen, let's look at this testimony of Paul's in Acts 26. You have to turn here. You have to turn here because this is interesting. And Paul's not boasting, he's just testifying. And when you've been confronted by the Lord, you're going to have a testimony. You have to have a testimony.
Yes, yes.
Here's where I was, and here's what happened to me. I'm a different person. Look at 26, Acts 26 and 9. Listen to what it says. This is us. This is us in our lost state before we got confronted. He said, I verily thought with myself. Now that's a bad person. When you go into yourself for answers, and you unsaved, you know, let me tell you something. You're going to get some bad advice. Yeah, I mean, listen to what he said. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. When he said, I thought to myself, and self said, okay, let's kill all the Christians we can. That's what the text is saying.
Yeah.
You can think to yourself, and you're going to have some problems all the time. This is what he says. Watch this in verse number 20. Verse number 10, rather. He says, which thing I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the high priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And believe me, Paul had a powerful voice. So Paul basically says, off with the head. Okay? Look at verse number 11. And I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. He just tracked them down. He was on a Christian manhunt and he was on a path of destruction. Look at verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the high priest. And Damascus was a city with a lot of Christians. And Paul was getting ready to wreak havoc. And somebody said, but God. Verse number 13. But at midday, the brightest time of the day, he said, O king, I saw in the way. I saw in the way a light from heaven. Wait a minute. Now the midday sun is bright. Most times you can't even look at the midday sun. But see, the Lord is brighter than the midday sun. He was brighter than the midday sun. And he says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun.
Above the brightness of the sun.
Don't miss that. Shining around about me and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, this person don't hear. Because the rest of them didn't hear this. I heard a voice speaking unto me. So you can be in a crowded bar, knowing you ought not be there. And everybody else popping and drinking. And you'll be the only one hear a voice. Only then all the time you didn't have too many to drink. You might have just walked in. And said, you know what? I know I ain't got no business being here. Listen for the voice. Because God speaks to his people. Watch this. Verse 14. And when we all were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice. The rest of them didn't hear it. Speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue.
Yeah, Hebrew tongue.
Don't miss that. Speaking to me in a language I fully understood. There was no doubt. He said, Saul. This is what he said. Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, and you only hurt yourself. You know who's talking to you, you only hurt yourself because you're kicking against the pricks. Somebody ever tell us what a prick is. Young people, I don't want to hear your definition of it. This is a biblical prick. A prick, a biblical prick, was a long stick, and they put a knife on the end of it. So when the ox, hard-headed ox, I don't want to give you some of you mothers an idea, some of y'all might need a prick. When our hard-headed kids don't want to do right. But a hard-headed ox didn't want to stay on the beat on the path. They would prick him. And that ox would be so hard-headed, he'd kick back. And they'd kick against the prick. And what Paul's saying, what God is saying to Paul, you're going to hurt yourself. You only hurt yourself because I'm all powerful and I'm going to change you. I'm going to deal with you. You have been chosen by me. This was God's irresistible grace. And Paul had no defense. When God called you this way, you can't fight back. When God wants you, He's going to have you. You don't have free will all the time. So, I got free will. I can do and I can not choose. Well, you can.
No, you can't.
But when God calls you like He calls Zacchaeus, when He calls you like He called Matthew, when He calls you like He called the Philippian jailer, you don't have a choice. I yield, I yield. That's the only thing you will say. He said, why do you kick against the prick? Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecute. But the point is, Paul had a mean testimony. And we can go even deeper into his testimony. We talk about in 1 Timothy chapter 15. He said, I'm chief. He said, I'm the chief sinner. This thing laid on Paul all his life. It laid on him all his life. He was a different man. He was a different man. And I believe that will be the next one. I'm gonna move on. God's compassion. God's compassion. The third step. God's compassion. God's compassion. Oh, we serve a compassionate God. Look at verse number 6. Look at the compassion of God. And He trembling and astonished. That word astonished means amazed. Said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Why was he trembling and astonished? Because he knew right then and there that the Holy Spirit, the Lord of heaven and earth, had all power and could have wiped him clean off the earth. He didn't have to save him. He didn't have to bring him home. He didn't have to deliver him. I say it all the time. You go to the hospital, you don't have to come out.
That's right.
I know some folks that went in there for the simplest things. We talked about Dr. Perry on last year. Man, highly favored and used by God. And he just went in for really what we would call a simple procedure.
Right.
And he never came home. So when you go into the hospital, you don't have to come home. So we went on the road yesterday. We went to Columbus to get Michaela. We didn't have to make it home. But God.
Yeah.
Folks driving all. I mean, just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And my wife drives us down there. But God.
But God.
She was so glad to get from behind the wheel. That's the compassion of God. Don't care who was driving. We don't know how many drunks rode by us. But God. The compassion of God. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord. Oh, he was happy to say that because God could have struck him down.
Yes.
He didn't say, give me justice. Some folks say, I just want justice. No, you don't want justice. You don't want God's justice. You want God's mercy. You want God's grace. And that's what we see here. We see a compassionate God giving this condemned killer. He was a condemned killer. Let me give you one scripture. So how do we know? We serve that kind of God. Listen, let me tell you something. Everyone in here. Word of God says, Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Okay? Beholding the evil and the good. There are no secrets with this God we serve. There's no secrets with this God we serve. And Paul knew that. And he said, what will thou have me to do? He might have been saying, spare me. Spare me. Those are almost the same words as the thief when the thief was on the cross. He said, listen. Empty what? My hands I bring? Simply to the cross I cling. This prisoner, this inmate, or this thief on the cross could do nothing for God. And God spared him. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. And he said, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise. Arise. That's a picture of the resurrection. This is a picture of a filthy, wretched sinner being born again. Up from the grave, he arose. Paul was face down in the dirt. face down in the dirt, and God says to him, arise. And go into the city. Wait a minute. This is the same city. But he got different directions down. He got different directions down. See, when God confronts you and saves you and shows you compassion, he gives you a different set of plans. He gave him a different set of plans. Listen, and he says, go into the city and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You take your big and bad self and walk right in that city. But you won't have them letters that you had before. You won't have all them arrest warrants. But you're going, I got different plans for you. And when God saves you, he got different plans for you. Okay? See, if you in here and you saved and you got the same plans, there's something wrong. Okay? You don't get traded from one football team to another and take the same playbook. When you arrive at that other team's training camp, you get a different playbook. Okay? You get a new playbook. Did you get your new playbook? Are you still with the old book? Watch what Paul's saying here. I'm all right. Watch this. Verse number 6. He got a different playbook. And he don't have all them arrest warrants. All this anger is gone. All this anger is gone. He's a new man. Paul would write this now. Paul wrote a whole lot of stuff. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
Right.
So Paul knew something. We throw it out haphazardly. But Paul knew something when he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ.
Yeah,
he was the author of that. He penned that. So when he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Paul knew something about that. We say it all the time. Oh, I'm a new creature. And all we say that. Paul knew something about that. Paul wrote that. He wrote it, I believe, right out of this text. Right out of this paragraph when he said, I'm a new creature. When he arose from the dirt, he said, I'm a new creature. Listen, but look what happened to the folks around him. And the men. This person. See, when people say, oh, you know, go to the Promise Keepers. And mob. I call it mob theology. You just get a group of 1,000 men, 2,000 men, and they just rah, rah, rah. And when they leave there, nothing happened. You come out of there, you got some t-shirts and some CDs, some books, t-shirts. You just spend $100 trying to hear a word from God. Now be careful with that stuff. Jesus didn't sell hats.
Amen.
He didn't sell sandals. Okay, get some Jesus sandals. Get a Jesus robe like I wore. See, that's what they do to Jesus today. You know, you get a, you know, purpose-driven life. You got the purpose-driven life book, hat, shoes, cup, CDs, binders, book bag. Purpose-driven life handkerchief. Listen, the other men in here didn't get nothing out of this. They didn't receive anything. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. Okay, nobody say nothing. When God move on your life, you ain't no use you asking people what's going on, but they don't know. God, this is personal. You know it. This is personal. Ain't no use. They were speechless. They couldn't tell Paul what happened because they didn't know. They didn't experience it. This was for Paul. They were speaking, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Paul saw a man. Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ on Damascus Road. He saw him. And Saul rose from the earth. And see, when God saves you, you don't have any problem taking God's orders. Because there's a new boss. There's a new boss in your life. That word Lord, when Paul says Lord, that word in the Greek means kurios. Lord, that means boss. You got a new boss. Do you have a new boss?
Amen.
Yeah.
Or you like Paul back in chapter 20, what was it, 26? He said, I talk to myself. Who are you taking directions from? Watch this. The conversion. We still talking about the conversion. Watch this. And Saul arose from the earth. Or from the dirt. Last week we talked about the blind beggar and how God used dirt. God likes using dirt. And when his eyes were opened, that's a beautiful thing. When a dead man's eyes are open, when a dead man's eyes are open, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. Now here's this powerful leader. When we pick it up at verse number 1 and 2, he was leader. He was a powerful leader going into Damascus to destroy. Oh, how the great have fallen. And now we see Paul being led by hand, and they brought him into Damascus. Here's a man that was bent on destruction. Now he's in Damascus preaching. He's in Damascus preaching. Look at verse 19. 18. That's after the scale. We're still in verse chapter 9 and 18. Okay? God's going to give him instructions. And I'm going to go back to 15. That's not going to be on Wednesday night. Okay? But the Lord said unto him, well, he's giving Ananias some instruction. Now, Ananias, verse 13, said, Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man. How much evil he have done to the saints at Jerusalem. Why are you saving this man? Why didn't you just wipe him off? That's what we've been praying for, that we can wipe him off. And here he have authority from the high priest to bind all that call on the name. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me.
That's right.
Not you. This is my work here. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. Let me tell you something. If you saved, you're going to suffer for the Lord. Okay, listen, all this stuff about living your best life now. Listen, throw them books away. Get them off the bookshelf. You're not going to live your best life now. If you live it now, you're not going to live it later. Bad title. I haven't read the book. I wouldn't dare. But watch that stuff. You want to live your best life now. That's why the casino's so full. Folks don't have no money on Sunday. Because they're trying to live their best life now. Watch this. Yeah, there's folks here. Hey, missing the day. That was pulling that one-armed muscle last night. Not at this church. Church is general. Listen, verse 16. Verse 17. And Ananias, he's a disciple, doing what he's told, went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, some of y'all have a hard time with that one, don't you? Some of y'all struggle with that. Some folks come back to this church, you have a hard time calling brother.
Yes, right. Amen. Amen.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Y'all remember Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah.
Killed all them folks up there in Wisconsin. Had them on jars and cutting their heads off and stuff. God saved him. God saved him. Folks got a problem with that? Listen, if God can't save Jeffrey Dahmer, he can't save you. Okay? If God can't save Jeffrey Dahmer, he can't save nobody. And if he can't save Saul, he can't save nobody. Listen to what Ananias called him. Brother. Brother Saul. The Lord. My boss. There's that word. My boss, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way has came and have sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. Oh, somebody needs some sight today.
Amen.
And to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. That's what happens. That's what happened at confrontation. It was all filters out. But I missed something. And I'm going to go back to it. Because when you're saved, when you get that conversion come, you're going to be a praying man or a woman. I missed verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise, talking to Ananias, go to a street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. When God saved you, you better be praying. Be praying. I'm not talking about being boisterous and only out in the streets praying, but you better be praying to God.
Amen.
For what? For what should we be praying for? For power. For God to fill you with His Spirit so that I can walk this Christian life, that I can walk this Christian journey.
Yes,
that's important. That we be praying. That we be praying people. And one of the things that I love about the Sunday night class that I teach is that the men and women that come down there, they just instant ready to pray. Ready to pray.
Yes.
The man of God, the woman of God who truly saved, got something to pray about. Because you know you have lost loved ones that aren't saved.
Right.
That need prayers. And the Word of God said the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail of much. And if we truly saved, we are effectual and powerful, and our prayers avail of much. And some of us need much. Some of us need much. So we looked at the conversion, the compassion, we looked at the confrontation, we looked at man's lost condition. But listen, let's look at one more thing. We're going to close. Let's look at this persecution. Folk, I don't want no one to leave here thinking that you can really accept Jesus Christ and not have persecution. Because the moment you tell your unsaved friends that I'm not getting high no more, I'm not drinking no more, I'm not carrying a gun no more, I'm not stealing no more, I'm not fornicating no more, folk don't want to hear that.
Right.
You mean tell me you don't want me? And I'm talking about telling one of these young girls that, one of you young boys, hey, I'm a man of God now. And I'm not going to fornicate no more. And these young girls will say, you mean tell me you don't want me? And they'll call you a fool, you crazy, you pervert, you freak, whatever. That's the persecution you're going to take.
Right.
The moment you say, I'm going to get myself together. I'm not going to let anybody put their hands on me no more unless they're my husband.
Yeah.
I'm not letting no one touch me until I'm married. Go down that road, young girls, young boys. You're going to get some persecution. Because I'm going to be holy. Because I'm trying to go to heaven. And the Word of God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So I want to be holy. And the devil say, well, I want you hell bound. Look at the persecution. This is interesting. I'm going to close with this. Verse 23. Some good stuff happened. Oh, it's raining hard. It's raining hard, but I don't want to let y'all go now because nobody's leaving. Keep raining. Now, watch this. Watch the persecution, because you're going to have some new enemies and some new battles. Jake, remember this. When you start walking with the Lord for real and seriously and profound and you standing for Jesus Christ, you're going to have some new battles. And then you're going to come back one day. You're going to thank God for the mountains.
Yes, sir.
You're going to thank God for the mountains. You're going to thank God for all the adversity that came in your life. Because it's there for a reason. And we live in a world today where these word of faith preachers, these teachers are saying that you need to live the best life. Now, let me tell you something. The Word of God said many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to hear that, but let me say what that means. This is the confirmation that you are truly saved is the afflictions that you battle. And we want to live a life, take away all the pain, take away all my suffering, take away all my afflictions, and then you take away your possibility of ever going to heaven. Because see, the Word of God said many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Many.
But we don't want affliction. We don't want pain and suffering. Look what Paul went through. Verse 19. Watch this. I'm still in Acts number 7. We ain't moved around a whole lot today. Acts number 9, excuse me. And when he had received me, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. We truly say you're going to want to be around God's people. First thing gonna happen. You truly saved, you're gonna wanna be around God's people. You're not gonna wanna be around the people of the world. You don't wanna be around fakes and phonies and cussing and lying folks. You don't wanna be around the people of God. And when he received me, he was strengthened. Then was Paul's certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. He was with the same folks that he was going there to do what to?
To
kill.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? Oh, what a change have come over this man.
Yeah.
And straightway, right away. See, the youngest child in here got a word. You don't have to go to a cemetery. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go to a Christian school. If you say, you got something to preach. You got a message. You got a testimony. Listen, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. The same message that he was killing folks for, he is now preaching. Oh, that's repentance. That's a turnaround. That's a turnaround. Squeeze these scriptures. That's a turnaround. And straightway,
right away,
he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed. I would have been too. Some folks amazed when they hear I'm preaching. And some folks will be amazed if one of y'all ever stepped up here. What happened? And this is exactly what they said. But all that heard him were amazed and said, what happened? Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came here for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? What happened to Paul? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Ain't that something?
Amen.
What a change. What a change. What a change. But let's talk about this persecution because it's going to come now. It's coming now in verse 23. Look at this. And after that many days were fulfilled, Paul was just preaching that Bible, preaching that word. The Jews, the same Jews that took counsel in John to kill Jesus, took counsel to kill him. But their laying awake was known of Saul. That's a divine protection. Divine protection. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Amen. Listen. Listen. I didn't ramble all the way through. What a transformation.
Yeah.
Once again, Dave over there saying, you ain't, what was the name of that? Have you seen the light?
All right.
Have you seen the light? That same light that shined on Paul is still shining today.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. Have you seen the light? Let's all stand. Have you seen the light? It's raining good out there. Have you seen the light? Even though it's raining, God's light is still shining out there. Somebody said, I saw the light. I saw the light. Have you saw the light? Have you saw the light of your lost condition? Have you had a confrontation with the living Lord? Have you had a confrontation with the living Lord? That's a wonderful question. Have you had a confrontation with the risen Lord? Has God's compassion shined on your life? How does your life add up?
Yes.
To the conversion of Saul. When you look at the conversion of Saul, how do you figure your life into that? Paul says in Ephesians 2 and 1, we talk about this a lot. He said, and he hath quickened you who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. This is Paul talking about himself. Paul knew that when God came into his life, he was dead in trespasses and sins. Saul was given a new life in Christ. He received new plans. Have you received new plans? Have you got some ideas, some things God has told you? Only you. How about persecution? Are you worried about it? Do you understand that you have God's divine protection? Do you understand that you can say like Paul in Philippians 1 and 6, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain? We've been talking about it on Wednesday night. Some of us just scared to death of dying. Do you understand that God has taken the sting out of death when Jesus died on the cross? He said, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? There's no victory in the grave.
That's right.
The doors of the church are open. The doors of this church is open. I'm not going to push the altar call, begging folks to come to the Lord. Please come to Jesus so I can go back and tell my preacher friends, five people join the day, never see him again. Have you seen the light? That's a good question. Have you seen the light? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the doors of this church are open, but it's hearts that need to be open. Father God, we've talked about our lost condition. We've talked about the compassion of Christ. Most of us in here, Father God, we've done enough. We've done enough in our lifetime, Father God. We just thank you for being so gracious. For removing our sins as far as the east is from the west. Giving us the strength, Father God, with unsaved people. Throw up our past in our face, Father God. We ask that you would just give them what you gave us. We understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous, Father God. And we know, Father God, that all who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. Persecution is part of the plan. Father God, we pray right now for the young people that are in here.
Yes, pray for them.
We pray for those that are getting ready to go back to school.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for Brother Allen.
Yes.
We pray for Michaela. We pray for Jake.
Yes.
Pray for Jeremy and. Pray for all the plans that we have. We pray for this church that we'll be able to stay united, stay on one accord. Father God, we pray right now for our city and pray that this church will be able to make an impact. That we'll be able to go out into this world and tell people about Jesus and to be able to explain it to people how God has truly worked in our lives. Last of all, Father God, we pray for this pastor of this church. Pray for me.
Yes,
sir. Give me strength, Father God, to continue to preach your word, Father God, to be able to preach it in a way that will touch a soul, that touch a life. Give me the ability to stay focused and to continue to study and to apply myself to the scriptures. Pray for my wife, Father God, as we diligently try to raise these young people that God has put into our lives to shape and mold them to be young men of God and young women of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And all hearts and minds clear now unto Him who's able to keep us from stumbling. Present us blameless to the only wise God.
Yes.
To Him be glory, majesty, and honor. And the church of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you all.